welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And I have two sidekicks tonight. One's behind me there. It's the one in training who is potentially the husband of the one that's on my shoulder, Bella. That's Buddy Boo back there. This is Bella Boo. You can all you guys that have your cameras on, can see that. And what do you want? Yeah, oh, yeah. Steve Barish is out hanging out with groupies tonight at some rock and roll concert. He always wanted to be a rock and roll star anyway, and I think he's on the way, you know. So anyway, tonight's a good night to call in. And we've been doing quite a bit around here. And some people keep asking me about quantum entanglement. I'm getting a lot of calls on that and how that works. If people want more. You want to do quantum entanglement? Yeah. You know, whenever a lot of people wonder if it'll, they don't think it'll work for them, but it will work. It'll work for anybody if you believe in it, because in entanglement, you're sharing electrons and you're sharing light, you're sharing photons. It's really beautiful here, by the way. Those of you that are watching, I can move the camera around here a little bit. You can, I don't know, it's probably a little too bright to see out. This is our studio here, and some of the equipment over there. There's another room with more equipment in it. Anyway, that's what we do around here. And if you're able to answer a phone without really answering it, in other words, the phone rings and you know who it's there, okay? The moment that that phone rang and you knew it, the moment that happened, that was the end of what's called quantum tunneling. Quantum tunneling is the effect of your brain sharing energy with another person's brain. And I'm going to have to wear sunglasses here, so yeah, it's getting that time of year. And the stupid time change always throws me off. To me, it's only a few minutes after 5, not a few minutes after 6. So anyway, we get the, bird really is glad to see me here today. I'm getting a lot of smooches from my bird, those of you who can't see us on the air. So anyway, when the phone rings, a process started. And that process was that that person had to have a thought. And that thought had to involve you somehow. And it couldn't have been a thought not involving you if there wasn't actual entanglement. It's an actual physical thing. You're seeing more and more and more of it come out in the hologram now, but it's an actual thing that happens. It's an actual event. Just like if you poured cold water on your hand would feel wet and cold. There's no difference. It's a different kind of a feeling. And consciousness is always a feeling anyway. I always tell people, what's better than a good feeling? So anyway, that person had to think about you or something that you and that person has done, and so they called you, and you suddenly realized that, you know, who's on the phone. And a non-entanglement situation would be if you were to if a phone rings, and let's say it's a bill collector, and you didn't know you had this bill. Okay, there's no entanglement until the establishment of that bill collector talking to you out of the blue. So now you know you got a $10 bill or something to pay. So now there is an entanglement, but the amount of energy follows thought that goes into this could be very little. You pay the bill and you forget about it, and then that's about it. I mean, there's still an entanglement process going on, but it's very, very, very minute, and it's not going to get much energy. When you use the nuclear receptors, what happens is, the quantum entanglement projectors, what happens is, you have established a device that allows you to go out and seek out an event, whereas without it, you would have to, normally we would come in contact, you would come in contact with somebody, and that would tell you about it. In other words, let's say you met a person that's going to be your friend at work, a new person got hired at work, and now that person is just talking to you, okay? You still needed the event for the entanglement to take place, of meeting that person at work. Whereas, let's say you saw a person at work and you want to get connected with them, but you've never really met them. Well, that's where the projector comes in, and that's what you would do is visualize the image of meeting that person and hold it for a few seconds, and that person then would be able to meet you spontaneously at whatever level of meeting you want to have. You can also program that. So in tighter times, like we're in now, we feel it just like everybody else does, but we realize that we are in tighter times, and that's okay. So we just use the entangling process more to take care of discharge debt, to make sales, to do things that we do to make our lives more richer. And as soon as we start doing that a little bit more intensely and concentrating more, everything kind of went back to normal again. It did slow down, and then we got to really use this stuff now ourselves. And I've always used it, but now we really use it. And I've been using, like, I got 4 projectors in the Laguna house, and I've only got 1 or 2 down here. And I'm getting great results with the one down here because I'm projecting over to the ones in the other house in Laguna. So that's the way the process works. You guys want to call in, I can give you a call-in number here in a minute. It's fun not having Steve Barish around, isn't it? That guy's out getting crazy tonight. He does that, you know. You got to watch Steve Barish. He's a wild man. I'm going to, if you have any, so a couple, I know I've got some new listeners. Go ahead, and I'll give you the phone numbers here as soon as they pop up. The call-in numbers at BBS Radio Station 1, where we're on, the toll-free number is 888.
The toll-free number is
888-815-9756. And another one is 877-876-5227. And if you don't like 800 numbers, it's 530-876-3222. That's the direct line for Station 1. And if you don't know how to find the streaming broadcast that we have, you go to bbsradio.com, and when bbsradio.com, what will happen there is you will be able to actually see the show without having to have all the fancy stuff on your computer to have a Ustream hookup. And I want to welcome all the new Ustream listeners because you're new and you're just finding us. And it's real interesting because I had to do a little, I don't know what you call it, some kind of a teaser they wanted from Ustream. Now they're getting more interested. I guess we're picking up a lot of listenership over there. And so I put in the Health Energy Science Show and also the latest in politics. And it's real interesting. I don't know if I'll read that part of it tonight in the book because I'm reading a couple sections of it and I'm way ahead of in writing and what I can read. I can write 10 pages and on the show I can barely read one. But part of the book is about all of the bad little things that the government has done in dosing the population with nuclear radioactive waste, like in the Las Vegas, Nevada, a couple other places in Pennsylvania. They just release radioactive waste in the air and just see what happens. And I've got all the documentation on that. And they'll, they also will release viruses, fungus, more and more through the slipstream, but a lot of it locally. I remember a while back, they were releasing a flesh-eating virus, and it was eating up kids in schools around the country in very remote areas. They usually pick an area where if it gets out of control, they can contain it. But of course, you don't know whether your area has been picked or not. Secondly, the Tamiflu virus, as I've said, it's in my book, all the documentation is laced with angel dust, PCP, which you put you in a waking, dreaming state. And if you're in there long enough in that state, you create a homicidal ideation. In other words, you have a tendency to kill yourself and people around you. versus the old days with some of the older drugs before they used so much PCP in the form of piperidine and cyclohexane. So the side's just kicking around back there. He's new. He's not quite trained yet for a one-hour show. He's only in May 23rd this year. He'll be 1 year old. His name is Buddy Boo.
Hey, Buddy.
Hello, Boo. Yeah. So anyway, what I just got off from my sources is that, and I said this all along, that once again the HIN5 virus is the alien, you know, the bird virus. Avian flu is a manufactured virus, and that Roche and company makes it, which is part of IG Farm, which is part of Tavistock Institute, which is part of RAND Corporation, which we've talked about in the past. If you want more information, go ahead and go back to my archives on those shows, and there's quite a few of them. So anyway, I found out. But I always said, and when I did the study on Tamivar, hello, we got a caller? Hello?
Yes. Hello?
A caller there, I'm not sure. So anyhow, I did a study on it, and, hello?
Hello, is this Dr. Fred?
Yeah, it is.
Dr. Fred, this is Dan. How are you? I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
How's it going?
Well, it's going pretty good. Work's kind of slow. Everybody's kind of contracting, but I listened to a very interesting show last night. Listened to a gentleman by the name of David Sirita talk.
Okay.
You ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Well, he was talking about harmonic packets,
right,
and describing form and using crop circles and the different harmonic sets and what he was really talking, what he was explaining, the first thing I thought of was your nuclear projector.
Yeah, the entanglement process came from the Andromedans. And, the knowledge of the entanglement process came from the universe, from God force or whatever. But the Andromedans were probably the first that I know of in these advanced races to really start using it. They use it for teleportation. I mean, that's a very advanced stage of it. Obviously, we can teleport a photon here and there, but that's about it. And when you use the projector, you are transmitting your energy into an event. And the event and the transmitter are the same, and that's what's called the hologram. And what you're doing is you're generating an interference pattern in the hologram, which connects... remember, in the hologram, each piece is the same as the whole. So you're actually sectioning out part of it and amplifying it, which then amplifies the whole. In other words, if you and I connect with a projector, the entire universe connects with us, but they're not aware of it unless we make them aware of it. And it's kind of a neat process. Do you have a projector?
Yeah. I have seen them. I don't have one. I wish I could afford one, but I have... I've done some alchemical work.
Study. Oh, good. By the way, we have payment plans, just in case you needed to know that. Hotel can work with you on those things, you know.
Dr. Fred, my connection is really bad on my end. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm going to hang up and try to call back on a landline. But I'd like to continue this conversation if I can get through. I am watching the stream right now.
Okay. Well, you see my birds then.
Yeah, I see I see the round object with the light reflection.
Yeah, that's
your
a
left
painting.
Shoulder.
That's a painting. Let me flip the camera over on it a little bit more.
Anyway, I'm going to hang up now. I'm going to try to call back on the landline. My name is Dan. I'm going to try to get through again. I'd like to speak some more.
Yeah, go ahead and try to call back.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Fred. Bye.
Yeah, that was Dan in Oregon talking about crop circles and comparison of another speaker. So anyway, what I found out recently now, and I had suspected this, and I said this last year, and I did a series of shows about that. Well, that actually was right after Katrina I did those shows. That was, a couple of years ago now. Time gets away. I did a series of shows on HIN5 and the avian flu and how fake it was and how it was planted. Well, now what's happened is... they are putting very high toxic chemicals in the avian flu virus vaccine that will cause you to get other serious types of diseases. I'm just getting all the information together. It's around here somewhere. I haven't really gathered it up, but I'm getting the information together, and it's going to go in my book, because as we are writing the book, more of this is going on now. And I knew they were going to play with that once things cooled off. They were going to start inoculating hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people with this virus. And now it turns out I forget what it was laced with, but I wasn't surprised, because I remember Mobile, Alabama, they laced a polio vaccine with cancer and inoculated a million people, and two-thirds of them got cancer. And it's real interesting, you know, when they do the radioactive stuff, when they released all these radiation particles on different sectors of the country, and I've got all the dates, the projects, and all of that stuff itemized in my book. There's so much information I don't remember it all. I have to read my own writings to really get the full scoop. Right? Yeah. So anyway, the Tamiflu virus, the vaccine, do not get it, because you don't know what's in it, and you probably don't want to know what's in it, and I really feel sorry for the people that have been infected with it now, because it's not what it's supposed to be, and it contains, anyway, cyclohexane, which is half of, you know, cyclohexane and pyridine produce angel dust or PCP. It's very interesting stuff. I'll wait for this caller if he wants to call back. If not, I'm going to...
I'm there, Dr. Fred.
Oh, good. You're back.
Yes, I am.
So what do you think about the fact that they're lacing the Tamiflu virus with cancer and other kinds of stuff right now? And I've got information on it. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. It's with all... When the NSAIDs and all that other stuff came out, When you talked about Bayern and made the connections in Germany with World War II, I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Oh, yeah. The newest connection is even better. I mean, since I did that reading of that book and that research on that part of my book, I've gone a lot further into it now. And it's funny because as I write, this stuff's coming true. So tell me more about what was this guy's name that did the crop circles?
Well, he was... He doesn't do the crop circles. His name is David Sarita.
Okay. I know he doesn't do it, but I mean, he talks about them.
Well, what he was looking at was, well, if you look at a true crop circle, and I don't remember the couple that he uses their pictures because they're very detailed, you would see in the crop circles, as long as, you know, you don't see any stepped on strands or anything, plants, you see that there's a clockwise rotation. And then, like layers, clockwise, counterclockwise, clockwise, counterclockwise.
Right, spiraling.
Yeah, and he was relating that. He was measuring in cubits the Great Pyramids.
Right.
And how he related how they, in relation to the stars in Sirius.
Right.
And he said if you take the measurements and go in a clockwise direction, you get a number. 099, you get a ratio.
Right.
And then if you go counterclockwise, you get another number. And that, say, 1 to 999 or whatever, but what he was relating to was harmonics. And it's the harmonics where Clark said that the energy of space, the dark energy, you know, fluid, hydrogen,
right.
that's where reality comes from. Anyway, he was relating to the granite structure of the stone, and he can... implant frequencies into stone and makes pendants similar, that they don't look anything like your projectors or anything that you do, but he does make pendants, and he puts harmonic frequencies into them, and they stamp. There was Bushman.
Right.
Anyway, the inventor of the hard drive, the disk.
Right.
Back in the 50s, they grew crystals.
Right.
And observed the crystals in non-visual spectrums and saw the waveforms that would form, making the crystal. Anyway, they took a crystal, a true natural crystal, and they implanted into the crystal a video of a hummingbird and something else into the crystal. itself, and we're able to retrieve the information. And anyway, he was also talking about stargates.
Right.
At the pyramid to the Palladians. He's also had contact with them.
Yeah, we have a stargate set up in Laguna Beach on the vortex over there. We've had people actually transmit out. It's even an actual event is on YouTube now, where one of my producer friends came down. He used to have a television show that was under Paul Allen's watch over there. He funded it. And he came down, and we did a video, and he was kidding around. He says, let me play with the stargate. So we waited till the sun went down, the energy got right,
mm-hmm.
fired up the lasers, and he went out. His name is Marty, and he went out for 15 minutes. He came back, and he was stunned. You know, he didn't believe he didn't really believe it would work. It did.
Well, I have had experiences that not exactly like that, but not unlike that.
Yeah.
He was also talking about using a laser to hit stones in sacred places and actually being able to retrieve information off the stones. They light up.
Yeah, what I used to do, well, I still do it when I have time. When I get this book done, I'll go back to it. What we do is we take sound and we generate a sound. We take a sound generator.
Uh-huh.
The directional speaker system, and we'll say, and then we'll put a. Let's say we come to an Indian burial ground.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put the speaker on one side of the burial ground, and the sound generator on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And over, and then we'll it will.
Would this be
sound
like
generator and speaker actually on one side? And we have a recording device. We use the field recorders now, we used to use DAT decks.
Would the sound generation device be similar to a Tesla coil?
No, I use Pleiadian sound. There's
okay.
These synthesizers. They're sitting behind me. Some of them will generate those sounds.
The voice of the angels.
Yeah, and we send that across to the recording device, so it goes across maybe, say, an acre or 2 acres
mm-hmm.
or 5 acres. We did it in Haleakala Crater, so it was 40 acres. And we capture the sound, and we record it, and it captures the energy of that area. You know,
uh-huh.
And then what we do, we'll take it and we'll make a track out of it on a song.
Uh-huh.
But the song, you'll never hear what we did. You'll hear the song, and we'll mix the 20 decibels below the sound of the sound, so you get to feel the energy while you listen to the song. And we've been doing that for about 15 years.
Yeah, I've heard of Jonathan Goldman does Holy Harmony and his some of his tones for brain states. So.
Another thing that we did. We were the first to record a crop circle being made in Glastonbury, England.
Wow.
Yeah, we discovered it by accident, and then Colin Andrews, the guy that really
mm-hmm.
goes all out
mm-hmm.
on crop circles from England there.
I have a little cube from his website it's one of those, like a Rubik's type cube that has all the different crop circles on it.
Yeah, that's cool.
It is cool.
But what happened was one of my producer friends, David Tickle, he used to produce the Ravel and Hum, U2 album, and a lot of big stuff. And so he's over there recording, and I have the video here, and he's recording the flying saucers that he was looking at over at Stonehenge. And they call English call them Amber Gammers, and there's this big round disc over there, and then two discs came out of the side of it. They were smaller, but they were in the distance. So what happened was David's filming all this, and so he brings his video back, and he said, look at this. He gave me the original, and he said, look what we got here. We got some Amber Gamber ships.
Wow.
But he was shooting them in such a way that the ground in front of him was
mm-hmm.
also being videoed. So in other words, he wasn't just shooting the sky.
Sure, he had depth of field. It was small aperture.
Depth of field and everything.
Field,
so,
yes.
So Bob Schott was my editor at the time. He used to do a lot of editing as an actor and editor.
Uh-huh.
He's going it frame by frame because we're trying to really get some detail out
sure.
of this Amber Gamber, the spaceship. And all of a sudden, he focuses instead of at the spaceship, right in front of David, there's a little round bright light pushing down the grass, the
oh,
wheat
wow.
grass, whatever, the wheat field, wherever the hell he's standing in. You know, it was in a field with you
uh-huh.
know, kind of like grass,
uh-huh.
round grass, about 2 or 3 feet tall, pushing it down. And so what was happening is we looked at the geometry of what was going on in the field, We realized that David was standing in the middle of a crop circle while it was being made.
Oh, wow.
And David didn't even know it, because when you're on the ground, you know.
Yeah, and you're
not
on the ground.
You're not aware.
Yeah.
It wasn't that real tall grass.
Sure.
It was probably, I'd say that grass was 2 feet tall.
Sure.
But it was enough to, you know, make a nice crop circle. Mm-hmm. And so David was in one. And he walked out and didn't even know it was a crop circle. It just looked like the ground was kind of mangled. And he's a short guy anyway, so he wasn't tall enough to notice what he was standing in. It was a crop circle.
Wow. Well, he's probably, because of the ground plane, he was probably grounded out.
Yeah.
And the energy was going through him, and he wasn't realizing it because he was grounded out.
So we made a couple copies of that. We sent one to Colin. Said, look, Colin, here's how they make crop circles. And then he said, how'd you guys do that? And Bob Schott explained to him the procedure, and he's been doing it ever since. Well, he films the man made all the time now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there any way to... I know that you had a video of the levitation when you were at that somebody's house. I heard you talk about it a couple shows ago.
Check this out.
Yeah?
A guy, I forget his name, he's German.
Mm-hmm.
We did a levitation in 1981 mm-hmm. at the Harmonic Convergence. San Francisco Hotel... I mean, the Jack Tar Hotel, which mm-hmm. is the Cathedral Hill, it had a thing called the Japanese Pavilion, which is probably a 5,000-square-foot room up
mm-hmm.
on the top,
mm-hmm.
on the penthouse on top of this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we took this guy, God, I can't remember his name, his car's laying right here in front of me somewhere. Anyway, I'm going to put it up here. He bought a master crystal, and he put up a system... He had more than seven radiators. He had a bunch of them, but he had them in a geometric pattern of subdivisions of 52 degrees, which is the angle of the pyramid, which you divide 52 by 7, you get you divide 360 by 52, you get 7.
Mm-hmm.
But we had these radiators set up in a big circle.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had everybody lay down and hold hands all the way around the master crystal. We had 60-some people there. So that formed a very large circle, and they're laying on their back, and each person is touching the other person's hand to get the energy going. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, and so then we laid there, and, you know, I sell this stuff and make it for people, and I don't really know how to use it the best way it can be used, so... What happened was he got everybody up and he got them running around the outside of the circle of the radiators with the master crystal. So we got it was probably a 60 or 70 foot diameter circle. That's big.
Mm-hmm.
So you're almost running straight, but you're still going in a circle. Well, everybody started running, and pretty soon, and we had people at all ages. I'm looking for his card while I'm explaining this, so he can call him. I want my listeners to be able to call the guy, and maybe he'll come and do something for them. He's in San Francisco, I think, and maybe he's down here in L.A. But anyhow, he's got everybody running in circles, and pretty soon they start, instead of, you know, let's say you're jogging and you take a 4-foot jog,
sure.
It becomes an 8-foot jog and a 10-foot jog,
like,
and eventually it was like a 40 or 50-foot jog. People were starting to float.
Well, everybody was bouncing, right.
They were flying, and... And so that was quite an experience. Well, I told people about that, and hadn't seen the guy since 1981.
Wow.
And we just did the Conscious Life Expo recently. We had David Carradine there with music for us with the, what do you call that band, the Cosmic Rescue Team Band. He's a character. And hi, David, if you're listening. So anyway... the guy showed up. This German guy showed up.
Oh, wow.
And he's there, and he's selling some really far-out new stuff, still way ahead of the game. And he started telling my clients, yeah, we did this, and explained how he did it. And Mikkel was there, and she'd heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
She got to meet the guy that actually put this thing together. She just flipped out. I mean, what a small world. She ran into the guy that did the 60-foot leaps, as the Tibetans call it, with about 60-some-odd people.
There are no coincidences.
Yeah, no coincidences.
There are.
And then, of course, we sold a system to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. You know, bless him. He's not around anymore. But through Tom Headley, who was the president of TM of America at the time, And he set a system up there in his Montecito house up next door to President Reagan at the time, and it was back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they started doing the hopping in TM.
Wow.
My system, yeah.
Doctor,
so we used to sell a system for levitation, but we don't do it because we had a lady get hurt in it.
Sure.
She levitated 30 feet over in Hawaii, Rama Devi. She's still a client. She teaches yoga to Vogue models and famous people and stuff. And
something snapped her out of it.
She got up in a 30-foot, she has a loft over in Honolulu there on Ward Street. I remember the street even.
My sister used to live in Hawaii Kai.
Yeah, okay, that's nearby.
Mm-hmm.
So she was floating 30 feet above the circle, and nobody had ever done that before. I mean, the 60-foot leaps, we probably weren't clearing for 4 feet, you know what I mean?
Sure.
The lateral distance was great, but the vertical distance wasn't much. So she got up 30 feet in the air. She was on the ceiling, she said, and I looked at the ceiling, it was about 30 feet high, and then she got out of the circle. She floated out of the circle of the radiator.
Out of the field, yeah.
And immediately the field snapped, and she fell directly down on one of the radiators and broke her leg on the lower bones, and her right arm broke.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So after that, she was happy. She didn't get mad. She thought it was cool. She wanted to fly. And I don't know if she's ever done it again, but she did it then, and she told me, you know, I don't mind having a broken leg and a broken arm because it was worth it. I got to fly. I know what it's like. You know, so it's cool.
The price of education sometimes the value, yes, I can relate. Dr. Fred, is there any way that I could get the natural dimensions, of a gold crystal? Is there any way that I could get those measurements?
You'd have to have an electron microscope, but it's the same as a pyramid. 18 karat gold and up is a perfect octahedron.
Okay.
If you ever look at California gold from the old gold rush, those big nuggets are like a quarter inch long, wrapped around quartz. Even those nuggets have that shape to them. Because remember, gold likes to live in quartz.
I have lots of Snoqualmie quartz in my bedroom. I don't have really large master crystals, but I do have crystals that I have found myself, and they're all around my house. So.
Yeah, you got to have those. So where are you, in the country up there or what?
I'm just outside the city limits of Portland, in the Tigard area.
Oh, okay.
I walk out my door and I see deer and fields and a national wildlife refuge, and go about, well, I don't know, maybe half a mile, and there's cabbage, made me some sauerkraut and berries and stuff. And I like to live seasonally.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I just got done picking up 2 bushels of avocados before my show. We have an avocado ranch out here in Temecula, and so I just went down there and picked. Took me all of 10 minutes to get 2 bushels.
Wow.
I've been giving them a lot away to my friends. There's so many of them now. There's not enough to harvest. There's 300 trees here, but the trees were, some of them had root rot, so they chopped them up and they had to grow back.
Yeah.
But there's probably 20 trees here out of the 300 that are producing avocado, and they're not harvesting them this year, so we're harvesting them as much as we can, but there's so many we can't get them all. I have people come over and I say, bring your largest box, fill your car up.
Without giving away proprietary information, and I don't expect you to, but with your nuclear projectors, what's the meta set of harmonics that you have in that? Is it like over 30 or?
What do you mean? And what?
Well, of all the combined frequencies with the different pyramids and stuff.
Oh. Well, it works on what's called scalar waves.
Yes, I understand scalar. We did a scalar thing up in Stanwood, Washington, we were using an old style tunable coil for the military, and we were just running a five milliamp frequency generator, and we were using homemade scalar coils, bifilar round coils.
Yeah.
And we were taking, you know what MET glass is? You know, when you get something at the store and they have to run it over the magnet, if they don't, and it's for anti-theft, you know, if you walk to the door.
Yeah.
Well, they orient all of the atoms in one direction, or the molecules in one direction, and then when they hit it with a frequency, it bounces off another frequency. Well, we were using Met glass, and we were going for a tone at frequencies that were really low. And whenever, if you get the chance to monitor these frequencies, usually, you know, burns crop circles on the ground or, you know, strange lights or whatever. Anyway, this was a 5 milliamp generator using scalar coils, and this is a long time ago. We were going to take 300 baud modems and try to set up a network. This is back in the old BBS days, trying to set up a network with these little coils to track these frequencies. Anyway, we were making the coils, and we're using Met glass to tune them, you know, putting them into the coil. And when we got the tone we were looking for, we'd use a little bit of hot glue and anchor it in place. Well, while we were doing that, a helicopter showed up. It had all kinds of antennas on it, not really lights. There was really no marker lights. And it hovered, you know, 300 yards offshore and about 100 yards off the tree line.
Wow.
So right away we snapped off the lip. And this is an old boilerplate, you know, dial frequency generator, but it would go up to 1 gig. So it was...
You go to 1 gigahertz?
Yes.
Yeah, you could get a few military frequencies there.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, the watch that I've got on my wrist, the battery puts out more milliamps than what we were generating.
Well, how much power were you generating?
Well, it was five milliamps.
Now, that isn't very much.
No, that's not very much at all, and that's what we were using, and we were just using a little 9-volt Radio Shack little speaker that you, you know, plug into the earpiece of your radio and get, you know, for external speaker. And we were using that to pick up the tone. And anyway, we stopped doing that because it was, we just stopped doing it there just because when this aircraft showed up, it was, when we did some investigation, most of the people, well, let me just say it this way, as less than 30 miles as the crow flies, Naval Air Station with the island.
So, yeah, they must have some eavesdropping equipment.
Well, they you know, the frequency wasn't on long enough for them to pinpoint it, but anyway, it was. So I understand scalar what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, we generated in a different way, but and so we generated on the face of the nuclear receptor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the frequencies that are used are determined by the filtering system, and that's a gemstone that's on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on whether it's one color of the rainbow, for example, violet would be 405 to 420 nanometers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that spectral area, that's the wavelength of the violet. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's the scalar wave would be operating in. Red would be 562 nanometers,
mm-hmm.
and green would be 400 and actually about 470 something. So we operate anywhere between 400 and maybe 390 nanometers up to maybe 650, 700 nanometers with them. And what happens is those frequencies. those frequencies are across the DNA pattern of the human body, so that we are able to target the endocrine system of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the FDA got into it, and Food and Drug Administration, and they wanted me to go over to, you know, I was going to UCI. Maybe
mm-hmm.
I get my book done and I ever get some time. They wanted me to go do some medical studies, endocrinology studies. They're willing to give me a medical rating.
Wow.
On my nuclear receptor. Yeah, I was dealing directly with the FDA in Washington, D.C. I mean, Food and Drug Administration in Washington, D.C. And they said that, you know, they told me, they cautioned me on making any medical claims, but they also, in the same breath, said, we wish you would be able to, and we would help you to make those claims, because we believe that you're onto something. And that would change my patent, too.
Sure.
I'd get another patent.
I think that there are some Russian scientists that have something using frequencies, complex frequencies. The device is called SINAR.
Yeah.
And they use that. Yeah, I met the person, you know, the defibrillators that were put out by Medtronic.
Yeah, I'm familiar with those, yeah.
Well, I personally met the gentleman that actually, because you just can't plug wires into an AC, you know, plug the wires into the wall, turn it into DC, and then, you know, zap somebody. It's a complex set of frequencies that they zap you with. It's a logarithm there, and I met the gentleman that made those frequencies.
Yeah, what to me would be more fun, I mean, I got to go back and do the receptor. I got to do this medical study for the FDA. They, you know, a lot of government people use this stuff.
People need it.
And because what I really want to do is I want to take the projector system, the bigger ones, the ones that are, I don't know, they're 8 inches long, I believe. They're about 8 inches long, maybe 8.5 inches long, and 4 inches wide. If you use four of those in different positions, and Steve Barish is good at positioning them with lasers.
Yes.
This quantum stuff really takes on a new meaning. I don't have set up. I've got the oscilloscopes with the proper rise time. You need nanosecond rise times, which I have, to measure, to start doing this quantum measuring that's going on right now to polarize photons, because I think we can take it to another level.
Well, yeah, I think that you would be able to pop in and out of quantum time, and, you know, it could be a second, or it could be a year, or it could be whatever.
Yeah. So we haven't really had, you know, there just isn't enough time on this planet to really get down with stuff. And I'm always making something new up. You know, I'm working on the X1 healing machine now, so which will incorporate the projector technology along with a lot of electronic stuff, plus a lot of Balmer waveforms and hydrogen frequency stuff. I just got in touch with my friend Steven Eberbaugh. Hi, Steve, if you're listening, from Ann Arbor. He went out and got himself a degree over at MIT and came back and invented the system that Bose uses now for that fantastic sound that Bose has.
Have you ever heard of a gentleman by the name of, well, he goes by the name of Merlin, but Frank? Have you ever heard of a gentleman, Frank? Everybody calls him Merlin. I think he knows your friend Steve.
What's his first name?
Frank.
Yeah. Steve owned a company called WDM or something speakers. I mean, he made them 30 years ago, and they sell for tons of money on the on eBay right now, this company that he started. And it did really well. He retired off of it. But Steve and I were the two nerds in junior high, you know, in high school. And then he went off to MIT, and I went off into the military, and we reconnected. And so now we're working together, and he's got a buddy that's working with Josephine Junctions and stuff, which I want to use in my earthquake detector. I needed a contact for Josephine Junctions, and now I have one now. And, of course, people call it, it's known as the squid technology.
Right.
And I need that for my earthquake detector. I've got part of it built. I just haven't had time to fix that, because out here in California, the earthquake detectors are kind of handy.
Well, you know, I would think that if you could take koi or carp and how the Japanese use them, I if they could look at the nervous system, I hate to say fish brain, but you know how we have the pineal gland and it's the in us and how it magnetite. I think that probably, I mean, I'm just talking off the cuff here, but I think if that could be analyzed, I think that would really, if you could.
Well, we are doing that in the X1.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing. That's part of Eberbaugh's end of it. We have a machine right now that it's made by StarTech that measures meridians in the body with a little probe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scientific. It's got tons of patents on it. And so we're taking, and then it corrects, you know, then you can use a square wave to correct things. Well, I'm taking that square wave, and we're getting rid of that, and I'm using a in-house patentable, what I call secretly designed CNS generator, central nervous system generator, that will look at any part of the body. I first did this with Peter Tompkins years ago. When we put spectrum analyzers on plants.
Oh, yeah.
And looked at the CNS of a plant and had the owner of the plant be miles away and pinch themselves and put some, you know, put their hands in hot water until it's uncomfortable. And
I've seen that. I've even seen that video.
Yeah, that was stuff we did years ago. This is much more sophisticated, but it's along those lines. And that's how you do the healing process. The healing process in the body speeds up if you can. It's the same energy that goes in you cut yourself, the wound heals, but there's an energy there that does that. And it tells the cells how to do that, and that's what we're doing. That's what the X1 does. And that includes bones, too. So it's kind of a revolutionary device, and we're working on that.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll have we'll be probably offering the first one for sale this time next year, I would hope.
Well, I hope you get your book done soon, because I would really like to. I think that would be like the number one bestseller.
Yeah, we think it is. And have you heard me read it on the air?
I have. I have. And when I miss your shows on Friday, I stream them on Ustream. So.
Oh yeah, is it very hard to do that? I've never done that. I always
no.
have people do it for me, but.
No, it's better if you sign in, and then I follow you, so I'm one of your followers. So I just go to my, you know, I just click on the people I'm following, and you pop right up.
Oh, okay. So you have like a Ustream account.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a huge amount of Ustream. I'm just looking at the number of viewers. We've got a huge number over on Ustream right now. I don't know where they're all coming from. I the only thing I could think of was that that Ustream has advertised me or promoted me.
Well, it could be, but Dr. Fred, I heard about you. I mean, I still got one of the original, one of your original Paradigm Pyramids.
Wow, that would be
way
the 70s.
Back. And that was like back in the 80s.
Yeah, 80s too. Yeah, we made them. The company started in 75,
mm-hmm.
I think. Maybe it didn't. I don't know when it started. I'm pretty sure it was 1975.
Anyway, Dr. Fred, I think somebody else is trying to call in. And
That's okay. No, it's my phone, but it's not calling for me. That's a business phone ringing in the background.
Okay, well, I kind of have an alchemical bent, and there's a catalytic process, and it was a German scientist in World War II, and they went to South America, but they were using mercury and thorium. The U.S. Scientists couldn't figure out why the Germans had mercury and thorium. They had just tons and tons and tons of thorium.
Yeah. U-230, let's see what, thorium is 235, isn't it?
Yeah, they were using...
Thorium is a good source of slow neutrons.
Yes.
And, of course, it has to be, that's what you need the centrifuges for to make that stuff, because that's what they use to make bombs out of.
Well, I am talking about thorium, but not making bombs, but I think they were using that, the mercury and the thorium and some other stuff for like the candle and the wick for their energy process. But that's like, I think that's like messing with space-time, but I really don't want to go too much about it over the phone. I mean, I'd love to have the chance to sit down and talk with you about some of these ideas that I have. I think it is possible to make elements. When they say alchemy, yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. You know, the first forms are changing the neutrons in the structure because they're heavy.
Yeah.
But I think when we start manipulating dark matter, I think that it'll be real easy. And I think once we understand the Higgs field and the Higgs boson better,
mm-hmm.
I think then we can go to town on elements.
Well,
we can conjure up gold out of lead pretty quick.
I think we can. I don't have a degree in anything. I mean, I've never gone to college or anything, but I just study what I need to study. But I think what alchemy tries to do is it's like plating at the atomic level, and then when you reach a certain critical point of like little seeds, what is it, 27%, 29%?
Yeah.
That's a critical tip over. Then instead of plating or planting on the atomic structure, you are able to tip that atomic structure over into whatever the little seeds, in other words, you're planting. And I guess I'm being kind of philosophical here, but I don't have the alpha and omega and all the other, physics characters to describe it with, but I could probably hold my own with somebody in physics. But that's why I asked you about the natural shape of a crystal, the gold crystal.
Yeah, well, gold is an octahedron.
Mm-hmm. But the sides, if you take any natural grown crystal and it's not perfectly symmetrical.
Well, it's not bad. I mean, it's the same as the red blood cell in the body. They're fairly symmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, it's not as varied as snowflakes,
Mm-hmm.
Snowflakes all have the same number of sides, but they got all kinds of little things spinning off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Gold grows that way, too.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it done.
Yeah, and remember, gold comes from the sun anyway.
Mm-hmm.
it wasn't a natural element from the Earth. It was when the sun gave off matter to form planets, gold was part of that matter
that's the sun. That's why in the alchemical text, when you see the lion biting the sun.
And what is the sun? It's the plasma.
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to do is separate plasma, hydrogen, you know, when it goes to helium, and as it turns into helium, the matter that it produces is gold. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. I guess gold gives suns color, you know. Well, I can explain it, but it works.
Well, that's why I was saying plating. It's like plating at the atomic level, only it's not really plating. But that's how it starts off. But you still need the energy, and I think thorium would give you the energy to spin up.
Yeah.
Instead of decay, it's decay is the filter that we all see in the material world.
Yeah, it's true. And then silver, of course, is tetrahedron. And
mm-hmm.
when we use the gold in our products, it has a balancing effect and healing effect. Remember, your body still heals itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we use silver, it's a stimulating effect because it's a tetrahedron. It's very, very intense.
Well, I was, when you guys were saying platinum, not very many people can put platinum on unless they've built up to it.
Yeah, it's true. Like Wesley Snipes being one of the clients. As a matter of fact, you'll see him sometimes in movie. One of that movie did in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's been released yet in Namibia. He wore the receptor on the platinum one on the outside of his costume that he was wearing sometimes. But he's like, sixth-degree martial artist, black belt. And those kind of guys go with platinum. I've got basketball players from the NBA wearing them.
Yes, the chi moves through them very well, yes.
Guys that are in top shape can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Platinum, if I wear it, it just fries me. I'm not in that good of shape. Platinum bridge is fine.
Well, yours and my bodies, our cells aren't used to 200 milliamp charge.
Yeah, I think we're out of time, though. I got to let you go.
Okay, well, Dr.
Down.
Fred, thank you.
All right, good to have
you
call in. You made a good co-host tonight.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, anyhow, you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, bbsradio.com. Tomorrow, of course, will be the canned show. And we got Bella Bird here. Bella says good night. And then Buddy Bird back here. Buddy Boo, you going to come see Dan? Oh, good bird. You got to be on the air tonight. Oh, you want to come down here for a minute? Yeah, come on down. Here comes Buddy Bird. This is Bella's husband. He has his birthday on May 23rd. Yeah, watch him. They're going to kiss a little bit. These guys are in love. You'll love this. Well, go ahead and kiss. Go ahead and smoosh him up a little. Go ahead and get. Why don't you get smooshed a little? I think they're a little camera shy tonight. No smooching? Yeah, a little kissing there. That's about it. They smooch all day long when you let them. There we go. Just a little kissing. Yeah. And then sometimes she feeds him. So anyhow, we'll see you next Saturday night. Steve Barris will be back. He's being hanging out with rock stars tonight. He's big time. A little boo. You're supposed to look at the camera now, not a bee. There we go. So anyhow, until next week, I hope you guys enjoyed our little show tonight. We didn't get a chance to read the book, but we'll read some more. Give us a call at 1-800-729-2603. And from somewhere out in the sky, in the hills, in the mountains, Dr. Fred's Health, Science and Energy Show, and we now will stop the broadcast.